glory to God. He's worthy of the praise. Give glory to God. He's worthy of the praise. Give glory to God. He's worthy of the praise.
Come on, we can do better than that. The song said, give glory to God. Saints, give glory to God. Amen. Amen. Because we do serve an awesome God. Amen. Amen. One who is definitely worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. For we know that they are still active because we are here. Because we are here, your grace and mercy still walks with power. And we pray, Master, that while we're here, that your grace and mercy covers us and keep us, Master, and sustain us so that we can receive from you. And Master, that we can eat from your table. Feed us what we need today so that we can become stronger. We ask now in these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Now let every whole heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 404.
All on earth unto
Does anyone in here realize that we truly do need each other to survive? That song resonates with me, and I would like for us to sing that again just a little bit faster and with a little more spirit, because we truly do need each other. It's good for a man to have friends. But in order for you to have friends, you must first show yourself to be friendly. Jesus said, I am a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Somebody better hear me in here. So we truly do need each other to survive. That's why it's very imperative that we treat each other the right way. Because you can damage someone by treating them the wrong way. That's why God said we ought to love each other like we love ourselves. If you love yourself, you ought to first be to love somebody else. Somebody better get with me here. We need each other to survive. Amen. I prayed for you. Come on.
You prayed.
I need you to survive. With words from my mouth. Come on, pick it up.
I pray for you.
You pray
for me. I want you. I need you to survive. I want you. With words from my mouth.
I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth.
I love you. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you.
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. We having church today like we're a little tired. Huh? Y'all been out too long last night? Is that what it is? Y'all been at the football games yelling for y'all teams? I know Alabama State lost in the last few seconds, and that probably made you a little upset, but that's life. Amen. Move on to the next one. Amen. Amen. If you're going to go out, my mother used to tell me, now, if you're going to go out and praise the devil on Saturday, you better get up in church and praise the Lord on Sunday. Amen. And she ain't care nothing about how tired you was. Amen. Because God is should be your first priority. Amen. Anybody here know that God should be your first priority? Amen. The Bible says that when you enter into his gates, you're supposed to enter his gates with praise on your lips because he's been good to you before you got here. Somebody better give God some praise in here today. Amen. 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 God said, I don't want your half-hearted praise. Amen. If you're going to be like that, just stay at home. I'm being serious. Amen. Amen. God said, bring praise with you. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. We're going to ask that the officers will go ahead and come. We'll do the pastoral prayer right before we preach. Amen. So we ask that the choir would give us a selection as the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering.
Yeah, it's your season.
Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to uplift your kingdom so that all will see that you yet still have all power. Because in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Now I'll let all God's children sing. strength is like no other, for it has the ability to reach to me. Amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. For surely he is worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 Let us bow. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for this yet another opportunity to stand before your people. And we pray, Master, that they don't hear me, but they hear you. For I'm just an old wretched sinner who has no power. Outside of you, I'm nothing. But with you, we can do all things. Speak to your people. Let them not only hear your word, but let them digest your word, that it gives them spiritual nourishment to be able to fight in this world that has prepared itself for them, to fight in this world that is against them. For you share with us in your word that they will hate us because they hate you. So give us what we need that we may be able to stand assured of what we know, so that we can be your disciples in this hour. We ask now in this blessing in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let our hearts say amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I shall not be long. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read that 33rd verse. Matthew chapter 6 and the 33rd verse. It reads, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to talk from the subject, kingdom mindset. Amen. Kingdom mindset. And my proposition to you today is this. To be a Christian, you need to make the first thing the first thing. Let me say that again. To be a Christian, you must make the first thing the first thing. Today, we are looking to textually deal with a scripture that I consider to be one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. It is also my favorite Bible verse. And when we apply hermeneutics to this verse, we see that it is powerful. And not only that it is powerful, but the beginning thought of this verse begins in verse 25. But we also find out that the larger context for which this verse falls in actually goes back to chapter 5, the very first verse. But then we also realize that this verse actually is the proposition for the entire Bible. This verse is the one verse in the Bible that you can hang your hat on to receive salvation. This one verse is powerful enough if you keep it with you every day. And if you live by it, this verse will get you to heaven. If you apply this verse to your soul, if you apply this verse to your heart, it'll begin to change your mindset, where you don't consider things of the world first, but you consider God first. And this is why it is my favorite verse. That's why I sing this song. I got in mind. Because of this verse, my mind changed when I was a younger man, because I learned that what I was trying to get wasn't going to work without God. I can be successful all I want. I have all the ambition that I want. I can do whatever I wanted. But without God, it was for nothing. This one verse. It's powerful. Jesus chose to use this verse, these words, to be the proposition for the entire Bible. A divine, powerful proposition that says, if you seek God first, all this stuff that we're trying to get, he said it will be added unto us. Jesus was given his, as we like to say, his debut, his initial sermon. This was his first public sermon. This sermon was part of the Sermon on the Mount, which included the Beatitudes and the model prayer. This sermon that Jesus gave covered verses 5, 6, and verse 7. And as a Christian, we ought to see the historical significance of this sermon, because this sermon introduced the radical thinking called Christianity. This verse is a part of radical thinking. When we say radical thinking, those of us who come to Bible study, we know what that means. That means it's against the cultural and societal norms. Jesus was different in his delivery. What Jesus' mind thought process was different from what culture said that it ought to be. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he was helping his people to understand that we're anxious about stuff that doesn't matter. He said, because if God is your Lord, you ought not to be worried about where your food is going to come from. If God is your Lord, you ought not worry about where your money is going to come from. If God is your Lord, you ought to not worry about the things of this world, because if he care about a bird, he certainly care about you. Amen. But you know, we get caught up in what we are taught when we are younger, coming up through elementary school and junior high school and high school, where they teach us to have strong desire to be successful in the world, to make our mark in the world. But the one thing they forgot to tell us, that you need to make that mark through God. Amen. You got to have a kingdom mindset. That don't mean, you know, I'm just obligated to go to church, so I go. That's not kingdom mindset. Amen. I can play the piano, so I play. That's not a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset is, I do this because I want to make God happy with me. I do this because my God gave his life for me, and because he gave his life for me, I love him, and because I love him, I'm going to give him the best of what I have.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus was radical according to the leaders of that time. They was not sure where he was coming from. He was talking in parables and teachings that they could not understand. And they couldn't understand because they didn't know God. In order for you to know God, you must have the Holy Ghost. Let me say that one more time. In order for you to know God, you must have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't know God. Remember when Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days? The way he got there was he was led by the Holy Spirit. If you want to know if you got the Holy Ghost, if you have been led by something other than you that leads you to righteousness, that leads you to do that which is right, that leads you to be helpful, that leads you to be kind, that leads you to be loving, that leads you to be understanding, then you know you have the Holy Ghost.
People want to say it's when you shout in church and when you speak in tongues. That ain't the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Some of that is a form of the Holy Ghost, but that's not what we are talking about here. He is your teacher, and the Bible shares with us that he is the only teacher. So Jesus was giving them a radical way of thinking that challenged their culture, that challenged society. He gave them new thinking like this: reconciliation over prayer. In other words, if you can't strive to find peace with your brother and your sister, there's no need for you to pray. Amen. Before Jesus came on the scene, they were treating each other in any old kind of way. Then they'd go before the priest and think that the priest can give them a wave over a couple of times and everything would be all right. Jesus said, no. If you have aught with your brother and your sister and you are not seeking to find a way to find a peaceful end, then there's no need for you to pray because God won't hear you. Amen. Kingdom mindset says that I got to get that thing right with you. Help us. I can't be biting at you and throwing rocks and hide in my hand. A kingdom mindset says that if I got an issue with you, I will go to you and talk with you about that issue so you and I can come to some form of an agreement so we can walk in love with each other. Amen. Kingdom mindset. He talked about turning the other cheek. But before he came on the scene, they was talking about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You slap me, I'm slapping you. Jesus said, no, if they slap you, you ought to turn and give them the other cheek. In other words, don't be as they are. You look for peace in the situation. Now, I understand, I understand. The Bible says there's a time for everything under the sun. Sometimes you just can't find peace. I understand that. But your job as a Christian is the attempt to find peace. Amen. A different way of thinking. And then he said you ought to love your enemies. Some of us can't stand our enemies. Reverend, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. I ain't got nothing to say to them. They hurt my feelings 20 some odd years ago, and I'm still holding on to it. He said to love your enemies, not to act like they act towards you. We've talked before that if you're going to be a child of God, you have to walk in agape love. And agape love, and the minute that you offer agape love, is the only thing that can make you perfect for that moment. Because agape love is perfect. For a moment, you can be perfect. To love your enemies is offering agape love because you're not looking for love back. It's not depending on if you like them. It's not depending on if they like you. It's depending on who your God is and how he say you ought to operate. kingdom mindset. The other thing he taught them, and I know you said, I thought you were going to be textual. All of this is in the sermon. I'm not going outside the sermon. He says, if you can't earthly forgive, you can't receive heavenly forgiveness. Amen. If you can't earthly forgive, you can't receive heavenly forgiveness. Where is that found, Reverend? In the model prayer. Because he said, how can you ask for God to forgive you of your trespasses, but you can't forgive those who trespass against you? Amen. Kingdom mindset. Amen. These things that he was teaching was contradicting to the tradition of what they thought, because they had separated themselves from other people and thought because they were the high and mighty that they're the ones who deserve what all God had, and the low class deserved nothing. Jesus said no. And the Beatitudes, he taught them that is opposite of what God believes. God believes that you give to those who are in need. The moderator just stood here and talked about giving to somebody who's in need. Amen. He taught them about giving and blessing the poor, blessing those who are persecuted, instead of blessing those who are powerful and wealthy. I understand we still have some of that Calvinism still floating around in the church, where they thought that they were the pure people, and they're the ones who were only chosen by God to receive the blessings and the teachings of God. When God said, no, the ones who you shun are the ones who I'm here for. He's here for the oppressed. The ones who we push down, push out, and push away. Kingdom mindset. The question is, do you have it? Is your mindset on the kingdom of God? Or is your mindset on stuff? Is your mindset on the kingdom of God, or is your mindset on positions? Is your mindset on the kingdom of God, or is your mindset on your money? He was telling them that you have to prioritize God's will. If you're a Christian, God's will must be prioritized. Not put on the back burner. Because when we look at this text, you see that Jesus actually given a command. In this sermon, he's not asking you. He's giving you a command. When you look at how this text is structured, you find out when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In the Greek, he's using the word Zeteo. Zeteo is a verb that's used to give a command. So Jesus is saying that you must deliberately and intensively strive to make your will God's will. Amen. He didn't say half-hearted. He didn't say you can be passive. He didn't say you can think about it. He didn't give you an option or a way out. He says that you must intensively seek to be like God. Amen. And I know for some of our Bible scholars, I know that he hasn't gone to the cross yet. Because the only person that can give you a command is someone who has authority. Someone who's superior, who's supreme. I know he hasn't gone to the cross yet. I know he hasn't become the Redeemer yet because he's just given his first sermon. I know he hasn't become the Savior yet. And I know that he hasn't become the Lord yet. But those are all earthly things. You must remember that before the world started, God had already ended the world. Supernaturally, all this had already occurred. So only thing we see is it being manifested in the flesh. So when Jesus spoke from a place of lordship, he spoke from the throne that God has given him that's on the side of God's right hand. So he wasn't asking you. He was telling you that in order for you to have a mindset, one that will lead you to salvation, you got to intensively seek, fervently seek, passionately seek. This is not something that you do in your spare time. Some of y'all don't even pick the Bible up until you're about to go to sleep. And you wonder why you fall asleep in it. You're tired. Amen. You gave the world all you had. And now you're going to give God what you got left. Amen. That's not being intensive. That's not being intentional. I was talking to one of my friends. I was like, man, you know what? We need to get together. We said, well, you know, all of us are pastors and we have a hard time finding time to get together. So that's the problem. We're trying to find time. If you really want to get together, you'll make time. We make time for everything else, but we don't make time for God. That's not a kingdom mindset. Church, will you change how you think? Will you switch over to having a kingdom mind? Will you seek his righteousness? Which means you must utterly be submissive to his will. In other words, you don't have a say. In order for you to have a kingdom mindset, you must submit all of you to God. Amen. Not some of you. All of you. This is the only way that you can seek him first and seek his righteousness. His righteousness is the beauty of his will. It's about his nature not changing. It's about his nature always being righteous. He's always just. He's always holy. And he's always loving. You want to seek him? Seek his nature. And the Bible shared with us that we must be hungry when we seek him. Mm-hmm. When we seek his righteousness, we must be hungry. Matthew 5 and 6 says this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He can't fill you with the presence of the Holy Spirit if you don't really try to seek him. Once again, he will not fill you with his Holy Spirit if you don't really try to seek him. How many times do we pick our Bible up during the course of the week? Don't raise your hand. Don't tell me your number. If that number is a low number, you might want to change things. If that number is a low number, you might want to change things because you're not seeking his righteousness. I said in Bible study, you know, it's funny. You know, we don't have a problem with when he's required to do stuff for us. But when it comes time for us to do stuff for him, we got a problem. When he requires something of us, we got a problem. It's almost as if we ask, how dare he ask me to do that? I know you say, well, Reverend, we don't do that. Your actions say you do that. Because when he required it of you, you're slow to move. When you're slow to move, you're saying to him, how dare you ask me? How dare you require that of me? That's not a kingdom mindset. But if you seek him fervently and you seek after him and you trust him, the Bible says salvation will be yours.
Amen.
Because he will assign the Holy Spirit to you. And I'm about to close. I know I'm long. He'll assign the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit's job, when he assigns it to you, is to keep you sealed in the body. His job is to lead you and guide you to salvation. His job is to stray you away from your selfish thought. His job is to keep you from going down the wrong path. His job is to cover you when you're about to make a mistake. His job is to pull you back when you're about to step in the wrong direction. But you got to submit yourself first. You got to make the first thing the first thing. Because if you don't seek him, he's not going to force you. You got to intensively seek him. And as I said to you guys once before, when I wanted my wife to know that I wanted her, I was intensive in all of my actions. Intentional in all of my actions. Because I wanted her to be sure. I wanted her to know what my intentions were. When you look at your relationship with God, does God know what you really want to do? Does he? Are you playing hopscotch with him? One day you're in, one day you're out. One day you're sure, one day you're not. That's not a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset means, God, I want you to understand I belong to you. You are my Lord and Savior. All that I have belong to you. All that I am is because of you. And all I will be is because of you. God needs Christians with a kingdom mindset instead of you playing games with him. Because he knows when you're playing games. And he knows when you're serious. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there will be one, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are now open. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. God wants this church to know that he's intending to do a lot with us. But in order for him to use us, our mind must be set on the kingdom. Not on religion, not on tradition, not on stuff. But it must be set on him. And if you pay attention in the word, Jesus doesn't preach about religion. He doesn't preach about denominations. He doesn't preach about tradition. As a matter of fact, he broke traditions.
what he preached about was having a kingdom mindset. If you don't believe me, go back and look at all of what he talked about. It was never about religion. It was always about having a kingdom mindset. In order for us to be powerful, we must have a kingdom mindset. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us bow our heads. Oh, Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master. Thank you, Master, for this word. Thank you for the assignment that you have given unto us. For we understand that you have chosen this church to be a beacon of light for those who are in need. And this country is in need. Darkness is running rampant. Confusion is growing. But one thing we truly understand, that when things look dire, if we belong to you, we understand a blessing is coming. Master, use us to be your blessing. Use us to be your feet. Use us to be your hands. Use us to be your mouthpiece. Use us to be your body in this hour. Because this hour we are losing souls. Souls who don't know that you love them. Let us share with all whom you give unto us to share your love. We ask, Master, for these blessings, for this, for your covering, that we may be able to walk in these blessings as we leave this place. We ask that you go before us. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Now let all hearts sing.